Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Good morning and welcome to the Lighthouse. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to be a little bit different this morning, but if you've been around here long, you know it's generally different. There's an astrophysicist. That means he's a rocket scientist. He literally works for NASA, or he did. I'm sure he's retired by now. He may not even still be alive. But I was watching a video of him yesterday. His name is Hugh Ross. Brilliant man. You don't become an astrophysicist with a low IQ. And many, and I've heard him say this before, many in the scientific community believe there's a God. Many. True science, God proves true science. And he was certain there was a creator. He just didn't believe the Bible was written by him. And so he spent 18 months trying to prove that the Bible was not the Word of God. He said he spent at least 2 hours every day for 18 months, for a year and a half. He devoted at least 2 hours a day. And so you can imagine someone that intelligent spending that much time. It was a pretty thorough, exhaustive search. And he said he could not find a single so-called error or contradiction that could be proven. He said what he did find was over 200 instances where the writers of the ancient Hebrew text prophesied scientific discoveries that were not discovered until hundreds of years later. He said there's no way those people knew what was going to be discovered hundreds of years after they were gone. Needless to say, Hugh Ross spent the rest of his life defending the Scripture because it is the Word of God. And God says that He heals. And so, Kat, one of the things I want you to do is I want you to pull up that text from Becky. I want to read that, and then as soon as Miss Gail gets back, I'm going to have her testify. You got it? Yeah, we've got a book. The Lord told us, we were in prayer meeting, and the Lord told us that we are to write down all the miracles because He deserves credit for what He does. And these are two very significant things that the Lord has done. This one began in 2019, but God finished the work at the meetings with Richie Seltzer. How many of you know Richie's the real deal? I'm telling you, what a precious, precious man of God. The only time we got to spend with them, because, you know, they're traveling with four kids, and so we didn't impose on them, but they did want to have lunch with us. And so Sunday after church, we had lunch, and right off the bat, the 10-year-old boy was witnessing to the waitress and told her that Jesus loves her, and ended up, Richie led her to the Lord, and she gave us her mother's name to pray for, and we gave her our contact information because she's believing God for her mother. And so, you know, God is just amazing. But this is a testimony that is written down for the book of miracles. And it starts, it says, I know many of you know our story. In 2019, I received a prayer cloth that this church anointed after the wreck, and this is Becky Smith. I placed it in my boot that I had to wear for about 8 months. And in 2020, I was going for a checkup, and my doctor looked at the scan of my ankle, and he looked shocked. And I heard these words come out of his mouth. This could have only been God. And I know he does miracles, and this is one of them. My bones needed to grow in order to build a bridge, and they did just that. Fast forward to this past weekend, and you need to know, the doctor told her, I was down there with the family, and the doctor told her, if you were not so young, I would amputate this foot. It's that bad. So he said, that's the only way, well, that's the only reason we're even going to give it a chance, because it's so bad. And needless to say, she's got her foot. Hallelujah. Fast forward to this past weekend when Richie Seltzer was asking if anyone needed a healing. Well, Willie kept nudging me to raise my hand, and I thought to myself, God, I know you did a miracle with my ankle already. Well, when Richie said, it's someone with right ankle problems, I knew God was talking to me again, and I instantly raised my hands to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what else you need to do, but I receive it. And she said, I felt this pressure that I've been feeling in the top of my ankle since the surgery just subside. But as he was walking towards me praying, I felt him grab my hand. And when Richie said the words, I release all trauma, our biggest healing was our heart. Going through what we both went through, and I always think Willie has had his heart broken more than me, but God has taken our hearts, mended them back together. When a lot of people want to be angry at God and question why he would do this, it's because we can stand up and say that even though we know all these bad things happen in our life, we still need him and know that one day this hurt and this pain will never be felt again. We'll see their smiling faces, and I'll walk and I'll run again completely normal. But in all this, we will still faithfully serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. I need, Jason, would you run this microphone back to Miss Gail? Unless you want to come up here. Do you want the microphone back there or do you want to come up here? You just coming? God touched Miss Gail in the meetings in a powerful way. And I asked her if she would share it this morning. You stay down there. That's all right. You stay wherever you want to.
Hallelujah. You know, in an atmosphere like we've had this morning, all things can happen because Jesus and the power of God and the power of healing is there. And sometimes, and I don't think that I even realized that until, I don't know, when was it? Richie. I called him Ricky, okay? So anyway, when he was here, he began to preach, and I don't know what he was preaching about. I don't know what he said, but I was in so much pain in my back, and it gets that way sometimes if I sew a lot or if I'm on the piano or something. Sometimes my back will just hurt, and I was in so much pain. I literally wanted to go home. Suddenly, I thought, I can't take this anymore, so I had 4 ibuprofens in my hand. I shoved it in my mouth real fast, and I swallowed. And instantaneously, all the pain was gone, and ibuprofen don't work that fast. But there is an atmosphere. One thing, when Jesus began to preach, there was an open heaven above, and there was an atmosphere of healing, and the Bible said that they were all healed, and now I know how that happens. He didn't really have to touch them all. There was just, when he was there, the power of God was here, and there was healing there, and I'm thankful that I don't think I've ever experienced an instantaneous healing like that. God is wonderful.
Thank you, Miss Gail. And I know there's other testimonies, and we will have more. What? You need to write them down. We need to get them in the miracle book. I'm telling you, God deserves the glory for what he does. And it's amazing all the things that God has done over the last 30 years, close to 30 years. We've seen God heal cancer. We've seen him heal heart disease. We've seen him mend broken bones. I mean, it's just, I can't even tell you everything that happened. There's a couple that I talk about a lot because they were mind-blowing miracles. When Marty Howell was laying in the hospital on a ventilator and the doctor said he's brain dead and he's not going to wake up, he said, and if by some miracle he does wake up, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. He'll have to have a feeding tube. He will never come out of this. And this church prayed, and 3 days later, I've shared the story so many times, but it's mind-blowing. We're at the back end of Birch Lake setting limb lines, and it's midnight, 3 days later at midnight. God has a sense of humor. And the bugs are so bad, we can't even turn on a spotlight, because as soon as you turn on a spotlight, your mouth is full of bugs, your eyes are full of bugs, your ears are full of bugs. I mean, they're just thick that night. And my phone rings where I have no service, and I have been up there, I can't tell you how many times, trying to get service in that place again. I can't even get a text out where I got the phone call. It was never interrupted. It was never dropped. It was clear as a bell. And my phone rings. I answer it, and he says, "Brother Barry." I said, "Yes." He said, "This is Marty Howell." He said, "Abby." And I said, "Abby, I know who you are." And he said, and that's what Marianne had us pray. She said, "I don't know if he's right with God. And if he's not right with God, we want God to wake him up." And his exact words, 3 days after the church prayed at midnight, dark night on the back of Birch Lake, he said, "Brother Barry, I'm not right with God." And I said, "Abby, we can take care of that right now." He gave his heart to Jesus, and then his wife got on the phone and said, "Brother Barry, I'm not right with God either." God gave us two for one. Hallelujah. We prayed for one. God gave us two. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He is faithful. I have found God to be faithful even when I was lost. I'm telling you, I was lost. And it's not that we don't have bad things happen. There's nobody on planet Earth that doesn't have bad things happen to them. I mean, it's just part of life. I tell people, this life is so rough, none of us get out of it alive. I mean, think about that. This life is so rough, it kills all of us. So that's pretty rough. But God is faithful, even in death, for those that belong to him. Hallelujah. That's the beginning of the reward. These things we get here, they're really nothing compared to where we're headed. It's going to be good in heaven. And there is no bad. Amen. I'm into that. I've had my fill of bad. Had all of it I want. I don't want any more. I don't believe for bad. I don't even expect bad, even though I know it's coming. Sometimes it makes me mad when I get bad. Sometimes I'm bad. And then I get mad. Yeah. But God is faithful. Even when I was lost. Even when I was lost. He kept me alive till I was found. He didn't have to, but he did. And I'm so thankful. My wife told me, "I'll go to church with you one time. I'll go with you one time, and then you're going to leave me alone." She was leaving me. She was through with me, and for good reason. I'd given her every reason to leave. I'd given her hundreds of reasons to leave. And she said, "I'll go with you one time. One time, I was thinking about that this week. God had one shot because she was done. It'll hit some of you because it hit me this week. One time, one shot. That's all it took. So I've been to church a lot. Well, did you ever tell God you were just going to go one time, and after that I'm never going back? I mean, what would have happened to her if she didn't go back? What would have happened to her if she would have left me and went and did all the things that she had already planned? What if she was still lost today? God is faithful. I'm pretty sure it was Miss Piper. She's given me two or three words in the time that they've been here. And I'm almost positive if she tells me it wasn't her, then I'll be the one that's wrong, because it was over 20 years ago when she gave me this word. And it's possible that I'm mistaken. I am not infallible. She gave me this word. The prophet Jeremiah, the Lord speaking, "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set over you you over the nations and over kingdoms to root out, pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant." I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. And we've got to understand God is building something here. Kathy was singing about the fire, and we've been in the fire for a while. And the fire gets rid of stuff that doesn't need to be there. God told us everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that those things that cannot be removed will remain. If it can be shaken and removed, God said, I'm getting rid of it. Jesus talked about it in the Gospels. He said, the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And he said, this is how you know you're a wise man. You do what I tell you to do. So if we do what Jesus tells us to do, we're building our house on the rock. And the Bible says the storms came, the winds blew, it beat violently against the house. But after the storm, the house was still there. Whatever we build upon the foundation of Christ, if it is precious things, if it's the right things, it cannot be shaken. And that word, that prophetic word there in Jeremiah was God instructing me what my job was with this congregation over the next, it's been almost three decades now. And we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. And I don't know if Jimmy will talk about it. I'm not going to tell Jimmy what to talk about when he comes in October. And I will say this, and I didn't get it into the people making announcements, but this is a really cool thing. October the 5th, I believe, is the date. It's on a Thursday. The Ministerial Alliance is going to have what we're going to call the fifth quarter. It's after a football game on a Thursday night. We've got a band coming in, really good band. They were at Falls Creek this year, and they had crowds of thousands down there that these guys were. It's a worship band. And we're going to have them come, and we're going to cook hot dogs and Frito chili pies and free hot dogs, Frito chili pies, free pop, you know. We might even have some water in case somebody there does want to be healthy. Most teenagers, you know, it's not that big a deal when you're that age. But we want to bless the kids, and we want to preach the gospel so that somebody gets saved. And I believe that the kids will love it. I really do. I believe that they'll love seeing that we're interested in them, and we want good things for them, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to give them a great evening. And, you know, they gave up a dance. The school gave up a dance for this to happen, and it's a fundraiser. And so I told the Ministerial Alliance, I said, whatever money they generally raise, we should compensate this class for that, because we don't want them to feel like they're giving something up. And I don't want us to feel like it's an expense. I want us to feel like it's an investment in our young people, because they are valuable. God thought they were so valuable that he sent his only begotten son to die for them. So I think we should express that same kind of love. And it's like I was talking about, we're building a house that is upon the apostolic foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2, God gave me the job to try to transition this house. And he literally told me, I mean, because I felt overwhelmed most of my ministry. Just like, this is way more than I'm capable of. And the Lord has helped me with that. And Richie was very helpful. I loved it when he would have us look at our neighbor and say, I'm not a very good evangelist, but my best friend is. See, I look at the mirror and say, I'm not a very good pastor, but my best friend is. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the foundation of the church, the original 12, and minus Judas, of course, but Matthias was put in that place, and he's the one chosen by the Holy Ghost. Some people say, and I won't argue or debate, some people say Paul is going to be the one in the foundation in the holy city in Revelation. I'm not going to argue about it, but I don't believe that's true. I believe it will be Matthias' name there, because Paul is actually talking about these things, and he doesn't include himself in the foundation. He says, we are the house. We. He's including himself in the house. And so that also does away with the cessationist theology, because there are still apostles outside of the 12. And they continued, but not to stir you folks up too much. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus himself is an apostle. Hebrews tells us that very plainly. He is an apostle. Amen. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I'm a firm believer that if you want to see the miracles and things that are taking place around here, this is the only foundation that will work. It has to be upon the foundation of the apostles. It has to be upon the foundation of the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So I'm a firm believer that this is the reason that so many different denominations and different churches, they try to do away with the office of the apostle. They try to do away with the office of the prophet. You talk to evangelists today. There are so few evangelists that are traveling full time today because churches don't hold revivals anymore. We used to bring evangelists in. We'd schedule them for 2 weeks. And they would come and preach the gospel for 2 weeks, and we would beat on doors and hand out flyers and do everything we could to get the lost people here and preach the gospel to them and see some folks get saved. It doesn't happen much anymore. I mean, I've literally listened to evangelists talk about how the church has changed. And this has all changed in my ministry, the lifetime of my ministry. Because I started here in August of 96, and like I said, we were scheduling 2 week meetings. We had lots of folks come in for 2 weeks. Brother Shell was here for 6 months. We had meetings, continual meetings. They weren't every night, but we had meetings for 6 months. There were many people saved. There were many miracles. The church was paid off. The church had a mortgage. And in that 6 months, that's the way you can tell whether it's a move of God or not. Because there were times that people would come in and speak and the church would suffer financially. That ain't supposed to happen. I'm not saying we weren't willing to do it, because we were. We were willing to go through hardship in order to bring in guest speakers. But we didn't have no hardship this last weekend. It's one of the best, and it's a great offering for Richie. And I'm telling you, it's not about offerings. And if you know me, you know that's true in my heart. I'm not about titles either. So if you think I'm trying to build up to some kind of title, you are wrong. Do you understand that the word reverend is only found one time in the scripture? It's in the Old Testament. It's talking about God. When I saw that, I told people, don't ever call me reverend. Ever. That's referring to God, not me. And if you make me a God, I'm in trouble. Bad trouble. I tell people, you don't have to call me pastor. Not important. Not important. Now, if it's important to you, I'm not going to fight you on that stuff. I'm not, but it's not a big deal to me. I'm Barry. That's who I am. I'm the guy that goes up Birch Creek at midnight and won't run a spotlight because the bugs are too bad, but I'm still there. That's who I am. I'm the guy that when the Jehovah Witnesses come out to my house, I've got on a pair of overalls and I got on a big old straw hat, and they come in there and they're like, well, here's this a country bumpkin we can work on. And they say, do you believe the Bible? And I say, every word of it. And they say, do you know that the earth is going to remain forever? And I said, do you know that the Bible says heaven and earth are going to pass away, but God's word remains forever? You're like, how do you know that, you moron? And then they'll give me some more scripture, and I'll give them some more scripture. I'll never forget that one time. It was an older lady and a girl. I'm going to say she's between 20 and 25. She's just training her. And I just kept coming back with scripture to refute what they were trying to prove. And that young girl's eyes just kept getting bigger and bigger, because I would hold the Bible, and it was on my phone, but I'd hold it right in front of her so she could read it. And after about 4 times, that older lady grabbed her by the arm and said, let's get out of here. Because her eyes were being opened. That there's this one named Jesus. And he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. See, it doesn't matter what the men's titles are. It doesn't matter what hierarchy, and I tell people this in the Bible college when we're talking about church governance. I said there's several methods of governing a church. There's several systems of church governance. Any of them will work, and it all hinges on two simple facts: that God has humble people to work through, and that Jesus Christ is the head. If we keep those two things in place, God can work through any type of church government. But if you have proud men and Jesus is lowered in any way, shape, or form, all you have is problems. And that's why the church is suffering so terribly in our nation. When we were at the revival in Pensacola, I can't remember if John Kilpatrick, I think it was Steve Hill that said it, I can't say for sure, but he was talking to the Lord, and they were just so thankful that God was showing up every night, and it was so good. And they were like, God, we're so glad that you're here. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, you have no idea how many churches I've paid for. And then they kick me out. You can't kick him out. See, we're trying to build an apostolic church, but it's on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's the only foundation upon which you can build a church where God truly operates in His power and majesty. I'm not saying that there aren't miracles outside of that, because there's going to be people that meet Jesus on Judgment Day that have performed miracles, but they don't know Him. But if you want to be a church that knows the Lord, that operates in the power of the Lord, it has to be upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Because that's where it's built. And sometimes God strips things back. That was my job from the get-go. He said to root out, to pluck down, to pull down, to destroy. And I'm pretty good at that. I'm not a bad demo guy. I'm just not a very good builder. But my best friend is. I love that answer. In Matthew chapter 7. Reading what I alluded to earlier. I mean, he says it right here. Not everyone in verse 21 who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. See, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build on the rock of Jesus. We're trying to build on the chief cornerstone. Because we are called to be an apostolic church. We're called to be a church of the miraculous. Signs and wonders are what we're called to. We're a church of salvation. We're a church of miracles. We're a church of the moving of the Holy Spirit. We're a church that we declare the same words that Peter declared when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, and people are mocking and making fun of and saying they're just a bunch of drunks. And Peter said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that. That was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God said, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Glory. This is that. But it has to be built upon the foundation of Jesus. It has to be. And you know, I've told you I'm not into titles, but apostolic is part of it. It's just part of it. And we act like being an apostle is like some wonderful thing. Well, I wonder how wonderful it was when they crucified Peter upside down. I wonder how good it was when they took the sword and thrust James through. Or when Thomas was speared in the back as he went door to door, knocking on houses in India, preaching the gospel, saying, let me tell you about the one that is risen. Let me tell you about the one that died for your sin. Let me tell you about the one that we knew and we saw and we touched. We lived with him. He spoke to us. He breathed life in us. And they crucified him. They crucified him for me. And they crucified him for you. But 3 days later, he's alive. And because he preached that message, they murdered him. If you think being an apostle is a big thing, you should ask the apostle Paul when Nero had his head taken off. Randy Clark, who in my humble opinion is absolutely a modern day apostle. I believe Bill Johnson is as well. And if you look at those two men, they have lived lives of absolute persecution. That's all they've gotten out of it. Paul said, you guys are doing real good. But the apostles are being paraded through the streets like the offscouring of the world. Randy Clark said, I don't know why anybody would want to be an apostle. If I would have known, and I'm not claiming myself to be an apostle, I'm just saying this is going to be an apostolic church. If I would have known all that I was going to have to go through over the next 30 years when God told me what he wanted me to do. And he told me, he said, Barry, if you fail in this, I'll never ask you to do it again. He spoke that to me as clearly as I've ever heard anything. If he would have told me everything that I was going to have to go through to be standing behind this pulpit today, I think I'd have said, Lord, I don't think I want to do that. But I'm here to tell you, one day, it will be worth it. And it won't be when God fills this house. It won't be when we see the wheelchairs, walkers, and crutches, and canes, and everything else that God said was going to happen. I think it's pretty cool that there's one right over there. It might be in use today. But I asked the Lord, I said, God, why don't you just heal Linda today? Today, Lord. Today, Lord. Right here, right now, Jesus. Come on, just stretch your hands towards her. Father. Why not, Lord? Why not, Lord? We bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We bless what you're doing. God, let that be the first one that's lined up against the wall. Jesus. Jesus. Why not today, Lord? Why not today? Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you're the healer, Jesus. We thank you that you're the healer, Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray a prophetic word most every day. And that prophetic word is there is going to be an increase in signs and wonders and miracles during the preaching of the word. And I pray it like this because God told me to stop praying like it's going to happen and pray like it's already happening. And so I say, Father, I thank you for an increase in signs and wonders and miracles while the word is being preached. And Friday night or Saturday night, whatever night it was, Gail was sitting right back there. And while the word of God is being preached, and she's not really, I mean, she's asking God to do something, but she's like me. She's going to take some ibuprofen while she's waiting. And the Lord didn't even let the ibuprofen have time to do anything. He said, well, just watch this. See, I think sometimes we overcomplicate the issue. I wouldn't take an ibuprofen thinking it was unbelief. And maybe it is. But I'm telling you, God's bigger than your unbelief. And I think unbelief's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I believe it's sinful. The Bible says to not have an evil heart of unbelief. But I also believe that he's greater than my sin. John told us, I like to say John told me. He said, even if your own heart condemns you, he is greater than your heart. So even when I'm condemned, he proves himself faithful to me over and over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because my house is built upon the rock. It is not built upon my emotions. It's not built upon my abilities. I've always known that I was short. I always know that I had shortcomings. I've always known. I've told God for 20 years, why would you ever choose me to do anything? You say, well, that doesn't sound like God's man of faith and power. And it wasn't. And it wasn't until he settled it and said, here's why you do what you do, because I chose you to do it. He didn't say it had anything to do with me. And I'm really glad. Because if it has anything to do with me, we're all in a terrible place. But as long as it's all about him, we're in a wonderful place. I told y'all I found myself in the Bible, didn't I? God dealt with the madness of the prophet, the dumb ass speaking. That's what it says. That's exactly what my Bible says. And I said, well, there I am. I'm in the Bible, Jason. Hallelujah. God is amazing. I hope that's not too much for your sensitivities. It could get a lot worse than that over the coming weeks. First Corinthians 3, and I'll shut up. Paul addresses that very thing. He said, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. They weren't preaching themselves. He says, as the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. But we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on is endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though by fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. God is letting us know that what he is doing here, it is holy and it is beautiful and it is precious. That was Richie's testimony of this house. I loved it. He just had such a precious way with words. We were thinking this morning, trying to come up with one of the things that he said, and it was hospitable, that we need to be hospitable. We need to return to hospitality in the church, and I believe that. I believe we need to gather in small groups and share each other's hearts and tell each other our burdens. Confess our flaws. And say, God in heaven, please pray for me. But God is letting us know that we are not to defile this temple. He's talking about the body. He's talking about the church. He's not talking about this building. We're not to be trying to tear each other down. I understand my job was to root out, pull down, pluck up, and destroy, but it was not people that God was having me do that with. It was more devils than I knew existed. I had no way of knowing there were that many devils in Barnsdall. I thought 3 or 4 maybe, but not 3 or 4,000 legions. If we have stuff that's in our personal building, God is faithful. He will help you renovate. I believe he says it right here, the fire is going to fall. I think it's much easier to just bring it before the Lord and confess it. And if you have to go to a friend and confess to them and you all pray and get rid of the thing, and it's gone when you stop doing it. I know we live in the modern world, the post-Christian America, where Christianity has nothing to do with stopping from sin. I get that. But this book hasn't changed. And he's faithful. He will be there through the entire struggle as long as it's a struggle. But it's when you just put it on your hip and carry it around like a baby and say, you know, I really love you, baby. And you're not trying to get rid of it. You're embracing it. You're loving on it, petting it, taking good care of it, feeding it so it doesn't die. God is not into that. Make sure it's a struggle. And if it's not a struggle, just begin to pray, God, I want to hate what you hate. Because he hates what's killing his people. If it's killing you, he hates it. And we need to have the same hatred for the things. And it's never going to be people. See, I shared this on social media last night. It's the greatest work of the Lord in my life other than forgiveness of sins and the new birth. Is God has brought me to a place, and it took 30 years to get here. This did not happen quickly. But God has brought me to a place where I say this, and I don't think you all are really getting it, because this has been just going over and over in me all week long. And I think you're missing the main point. I've shared with you so many times about how when God saved me, I hated people. And I'm not lying. I did. You could do any. Now, if you were good to me, I loved you. But if you did me wrong, I could wipe you out of my heart and I have nothing to do with you. If I saw you, I wouldn't wave at you. I wouldn't talk to you. I would just walk right by you. I had nothing good for people that weren't good to me. That's called hatred. I was just being honest with God when I told him I hated people. But I only say that because God took that hatred that was in me and he completely removed it, and he filled my heart with love, that now when people, and Bill Johnson was so instrumental in bringing this transformation with the Holy Spirit into my life, because he used to say my greatest joy, and he actually still says it, I've heard him say it several times, he said one of my greatest joys is praying for people that have done me wrong, and pray God help them, pray God bless them, and pray it with such passion. And I'm telling you right now, if somebody wants to be my enemy, I go to the Lord in prayer, and when I pray for them, I'm praying through tears. It's not made up. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's not a facade. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And the point that I'm trying to make in all of this is that God took a man that hated people, and he created his love in that man's heart to where now if somebody does him dirty, he gets on his knees and he starts praying for him as he would pray for his own children to get saved. I'm not capable of that. I used to lay in my bed at night and I would see me killing people. I mean, I get mad at somebody and I could see me hold a gun up inside their head, just blowing their head off. You say, well, that's just radical. You have no idea. That man's dead. I mean, I would grab my pillow sometimes like I was grabbing her throat and just choking because I hated him so much. Now, either no one has really ever done you wrong, or you're just a lot better people than I was. Somebody does you wrong enough, it can make you really mad. And for God to take a man that used to get really mad, and I really don't want to know what it would take to trip my trigger right now, because it hasn't been tripped in so long. I don't want to know. Lord, I don't want to know. I'm not saying there's nothing there, Lord. I'm just saying I don't want to know yet. Let's just ride this for a little while. There's some evil out there that would be hard to get over. I don't want to taste it. I'm just saying, the things that used to infuriate me don't bother me anymore. God did that. He is faithful. When you decide to build your house upon the rock, and you decide and you're determined, God, I want to build the house that you want built. I want my house upon the apostolic Lord. I want my house upon the same foundation that you poured out your Spirit 2,000 years ago. Because I believe before we can ever go to where God wants us to be, I don't think the church was ever intended to walk in the same measure that happened on the day of Pentecost. I believe God wants us to walk in more. But you can't walk in more till you go back to where we got off the track. Sometimes you can only take so much. And you're like, you need to dismiss us so we can go to the Chinese restaurant before they run out of food. If we could play some music. And I'm not saying I don't like all of Anthony's music, but let's not play his. The gospel is good news. Believe Jesus. Believe Him. Believe Him. That's what we have to do. We've got to believe the gospel. I'm just going to read it for you so you know I'm not lying. The simplicity of the gospel. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, with my heart, I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe, Father, that He died for my sin. And I believe that He resurrected from the dead. With my heart, I believe it. With my mouth, I confess it. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the easy part, is receiving Christ, being saved. The discipleship is more challenging. But I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to get in the family than what most preachers make it. And so if you've never believed the gospel, or if you are in this place and you know that you're not where you need to be with the Lord, maybe you've received the gospel at some point. But if you just be honest, you'd say, I'm not living for Jesus right now. Just right there where you're at. There's sometimes I invite you to the altar, and I'm a believer in the altars. But I'm telling you, I got saved in my living room. You don't have to get saved at an altar. He is near you. The word is near you, even in your mouth. The only reason we walk to the altar, the only reason we tell people, is because He tells us to make public confession. He tells us, don't be ashamed of Me before men. We need to tell people that we've given our heart to Jesus. And then pray that God help you walk in a way that is worthy of the life that you've just received. So right there where you're at, all across this place, all those that are watching via technology, would you believe the gospel? Would you believe the gospel? If you believe the gospel, I just want you right there in your heart to say, Lord, I believe the gospel. And then I want you to look at your neighbor, either on your right or your left. I want you to look them right in the eye, and I want you to tell them, I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel. The Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. As we stand to our feet this afternoon or morning, I don't even know what time it is. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I pray, God, just move across this place. Heal bodies. Heal bodies. Lord, I pray for Kim and Dwayne, Lord. I just lift them to you in the name of Jesus. I trust you, God. You know what's going on there. And I believe you, God, to move in those lives. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for my friend Larry. I just lift him to you, God. Raise him up by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. We just release healing over our friend Larry. We say, Larry, be healed in Jesus' name. God, we pray for Tommy and Sherry. We just lift them to you, Jesus. We lift them to you, Jesus. Encourage their hearts to just keep believing the gospel. Believe the gospel. Father, I thank you. I thank you for touching Barbara. I thank you, Father, that she's here with us, Lord. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her, God. Just bless her. Bless her, Lord. Jesus, thank you for moving among us, God. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for VBS, God. What an amazing testimony that was, Jesus. We thank you for moving among Vacation Bible School. Thank you for baptizing Journey in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for healing Becky. Thank you for healing Gail, God. Thank you for healing so many people, Lord. I know you touched so many hearts, and I am so grateful, Lord, for the healing of hearts and the salvation of souls. I thank you, Lord, for helping your people. And I echo Sasha's words. I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that's alive. Thank you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're raising up small groups, that you're raising up prayer meetings. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to begin gathering around kitchen tables and discipling and being hospitable. And I thank you, Lord, that though we are not great evangelists, our best friend is. And I thank you, Lord, that we can take advantage of our advantage. That it was expedient. One's translation said, it's the best thing that I go, because when I go, I'll pray the Father and another comforter will come. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the best thing. The Holy Spirit lives within us, Lord. We have the greatest evangelist, the greatest pastor, the greatest teacher, the greatest witness. We have the greatest interpreter of Scripture. We have the greatest living within us. Thank you. Now go with us as we go out of this place, Father. Use us for your glory. We pray it in Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. They said the Chinese food down here was really good yesterday, but they ran out pretty quick.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.